Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in. Juliette, hi, great to see you again today.
Christy Lee, great to be back in the room. And I'm really excited about our conversation today.
It's a weird topic to get excited about. Today we're talking about managing conflict in our workplaces.
And I'm excited because this is something that comes up in the teams I work with all the time. And probably it does for you too.
It's one of the biggest challenges, I think, that business owners, but also their leadership teams face. In the work that I see, it's one of the things that I get asked about the most, but also that I am pretty a bit fly on the wall style to see unfolding sometimes without them even realizing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I was talking with a client yesterday and we were talking about an upcoming workshop we're doing with their team. And I said, you know, we're going to talk about conflict and how you engage in it and what those conversations look like and how you hold one another accountable. And there was this little silence. And then he said, we're not very good at it. Because I'm not very good at it.
There you go.
And I think that's really common. I see that all the time. And often I will talk about it and the leader of the team or the manager will sort of say, oh, actually, yeah, that's me. I'm the one who leaves the table or says, okay, let's just keep it nice.
Yeah.
We'll deal with it later.
I think that's true. I think that's part of the biggest problem really is that people are so cautious, maybe scared or just uncomfortable to even talk about it that only exacerbates whatever's actually going on.
Totally, yeah. And look, I think culturally we're not very good at it anyway. We're not good at difficult conversations.
That's right.
You know, I think there are some cultures who are really good at it, who are happy to step up and just say what needs to be said. And there's none of that concern about how will it make people feel. It's just here, let's have a conversation. We need to get the job done, move on.
Yeah, I think you're right. There is a cultural element to it without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's because our culture is built on mateship and, you know, I think for a lot of workplaces, that's also a big part of someone's social network.
Yeah.
So there's that concern about what impact that might have, a ripple effect on the rest of their life too.
Yeah, I think that's really true. The two types of conflict I see most commonly in teams is one where a manager sees people in his team engaged in conflict and needs to manage that. The other one is where the manager has a conflict with a peer.
Yes.
Which is also really challenging because obviously there's no positional authority in that one to sort of pull people together. Is that your experience?
Yes, definitely conflict between peers, and also I definitely also see it between two leaders who are sort of equal standing in a business. I think it's more common than, you know, something like you having conflict with one of your team. I think that happens to happen less, not that it doesn't happen, but happens a little less. And also I think there's probably less conflict upwards as well. Maybe it's because of the respect that certain positions garner, where people at the same level in an organization, a whole range of things can come up, like competition, you know, for, you know, promotion, attention, all those kinds of things. So I think conflict between people at the same level in an organization does seem to be more common.
I think you're right. And look, maybe it's because people leave rather than engage in the conflict upward as well.
Yes.
Whereas conflict with your peers seems more possible.
True.
Seems worth engaging in, and that you may come out of it, I don't know, with the upper hand. Is that what people are looking for sometimes?
Yeah, I think they're fighting for territory sometimes.
Yes,
they're fighting
sometimes
for their position.
Yes, I think that's really true. And I think, look, when I'm talking with leaders about how to deal with conflict in their team, between peers in their team, I always talk to them about being proactive about it, not hoping they'll sort it out, but actually getting people in the room and really kind of mediating that conversation, making sure that they come to the table, but also making sure that they keep it objective, that there's a focus on facts, and impacts. I think when you're bringing people together to talk about a conflict, there has to be that conversation about, when you're behaving in this way in the team, it has a real impact on team morale.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of our most important jobs as a leader is to, when we see that, when we observe it, when it's brought to our attention, to actually take action and do something. But I think for most leaders, our natural instinct is to shy away from that. Or I've certainly spoken to leaders who have said, well, they're adults, they can sort it out themselves. I'm not getting involved in that. I don't want to stick my nose into their problems. But actually, if they're on our team, it's our problem. And we really do have a responsibility to help them navigate to a solution. And I think most of the time that looks a lot like mediation for all intents and purposes.
I think it's a really good point that the whole I don't want to get involved, they'll sort it out as adults. Because you're right. And I sometimes what I hear is if I get involved, it becomes a bigger problem. Whereas if I just leave them to it, it stays as their problem. But the reality is, if you know it's going on as the leader, the rest of the team is going to know it's going on and they're looking to you to see what you're going to do about it.
Course. And the rest of the team are feeling the discomfort. They're feeling the walking on eggshells. In fact, with a client I'm working with at the moment, just a few weeks back, she was relaying some information about a team meeting that she hadn't been involved in. It was being run by one of her team leaders. And someone came to her with a complaint about how they were spoken to in that meeting. And so she reached out to the rest of the team and they came back with feedback that was, we're all fine, but gee, you could tell the tension between those two in that meeting. And this is an environment that's generally very, very calm, very friendly, very warm and welcoming. So, she was mortified that her team could see tension amongst peers. And so, obviously has stepped in to remedy, but it's everyone can see it, even if they're not telling you they can see it.
I think that's right. And as you say, when people start tiptoeing around it, what we're seeing is a workplace that is psychologically unsafe, where people aren't sure, is this going to spill over into me? Am I going to be dragged into this?
And who wants to go to work and be dealing with that kind of tension?
Yes,
It
absolutely.
absolutely will prompt people to exit your organization. So you could be losing some of your best employees because you're just not taking action.
Well, again, and it's the good people who go because they know they can.
Exactly.
So I think there's a real need, if that's what's going on in your team, there's a real need to step up and actually engage with what's going on. And what we know is that for some people, that is going to be easier than for others. But even just bringing people to the table and asking some big, wide open questions. Doing that, talking about the impact it's having, but then asking, the what's going on here, and making sure people keep it to the objective would be my two big kind of pieces of advice around that.
And I think really importantly, being impartial as the leader, because you probably have a preconceived idea whose fault you think this might be, or who's in the wrong here, or who's stirring the pot and who's not. Or maybe one of these people is your star performer, so you want to protect them. But I think it's really important if you actually want to get the conflict resolved to remain really impartial and to listen and hear and get curious to both sides of the story and the experience that both parties are having in this conflict and not jump to assumptions, which we can tend to do pretty quickly.
Oh, absolutely. Particularly if we sort of like one person more than the other, or we find one person easier to work with because they're more like us than the other. I think that's a really easy rabbit hole to run down. I think the other thing too is to make sure that there's an outcome. And even if you
Absolutely.
have to send everybody away and say, okay, I think we've got as much productive conversation as we can out of today, you need to go away and think about a couple of things and we'll come back tomorrow. But we need to get people to a point where there's an agreement about what happens going forward, don't we?
Yes, definitely. There's no point having the conversation unless we're looking for an outcome. And I think most of the time it's going to take more than one conversation to get to that outcome. So I think that's really important.
I think it's also important too, if we feel as the leader that there are things we're hearing that are starting to sort of pile up, if people are sort of throwing things into the conversation that of which we're unaware, That it's okay to say, okay, I need to go and investigate this, and we're going to come back and have this conversation this afternoon because there's a couple of things I want to look into to make sure I'm across all the issues as well.
Definitely. And I think sometimes it's about helping them remove the emotion out of it as well, because the first thing they tell you is probably not the real crux of what the issue started out being. It's all the things that have happened as this has snowballed. So not just taking the first sentence and running with that, but really digging deeper into, okay, what's the real issue here? Where did this all begin and what do we really need to fix? Otherwise, you're just putting a band-aid on it.
I think so. So keeping those questions pretty wide and open, you know, the why and the how and the what happened then sort of thing. So not, making sure, as you say, that we're not making assumptions, but that we're keeping it as wide open as we can whilst we delve into some of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about when we're dealing with a conflict with one of our own peers? So someone who's a leader maybe of a different department in the business. Do you think the approach is the same?
Look, it is, but it takes a different level of courage, I think, to step into that.
Mm.
And I think, again, you know, when we talk about not making assumptions about people in our team, I always say to people, if you're going into a conversation with a peer, absolutely, get to the table with them. But think about whether you can reframe any of what's going on in your head
Yeah.
before you get there. So, because if you walk in with the, oh, this person's so annoying in your head, it will be written all over you. And so you'll start a bit aggressive, they'll start a bit defensive. So I think there's some tools we can use when it's a peer and we're having to have that conversation where we can reframe how we go into that conversation.
I think having a lens of curiosity is one of the best things you can do in those conversations. Walk in thinking, what else could be true here other than
Yes,
what I've made
absolutely.
this mean or made this result be? And I think it's how you frame the questions when you're talking to someone. And I think setting the conversation up at the outset to be outcome orientated. So I wanted to have a chat to you today because there's a few things bubbling and I'd really like to get it resolved so that we can work more proactively together. I just want to share with you how I'm feeling. If you come into that conversation with that kind of tone and language, you're going to get a very different result. So if you come into that conversation saying, there's a few things that are really annoying me and I want to chat to you about
Yeah,
them.
that you're doing wrong.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I always say to people, talk about the impact.
Yes.
And frame that impact around what the other person is going to engage with. So if they're really analytical and very objective and fact-based, then talk about the facts. But if they're going to come with more feelings, then talking about how you feel is going to connect with them more.
Exactly. And this is about knowing your colleagues and knowing your team
Yes.
members as well, no
Yeah.
knowing that they are a person that's going to need a lot of data to process here if
Yeah.
you want any outcome, or that they're going to want to know how their behavior is impacting you, or that they don't want fluffy words and you just need to get straight to the point.
Yes, absolutely. And again, as we said with the other conversation, keeping it objective is so important, not getting to the you're an idiot stage.
Yeah, avoid those inflammatory words, definitely.
But keep it to, as you said, the outcome we want, the impact that's happening at the moment, really kind of trying to keep it on the issue, and not sort of using phrases like you always or you never or you
Yes.
should, because I know for myself, the minute someone says you should do something, I'm just like,
That's not happening. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm about to do the opposite of what you just told me.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's kind of human nature, but particularly when our emotions are heightened, I think that's a really unhelpful phrase. And yet it's interesting how often that can come out when we feel strongly about the situation and the other person.
Yeah. And particularly if we are, I think often the conflicts with our peers come up when maybe we're feeling threatened or we're feeling less than or we're concerned about maybe there's some business pressures that are on everyone and we're trying to make the right decisions. So it's really important to not come into those conversations from that place of fear because you're not going to get a good outcome.
No, and that's why I love your idea of coming with curiosity. And I think that curiosity extends to, what's going on for me? What am I
Yeah.
feeling? So we can manage some of that as well. So we manage our emotions going into it because we can't manage theirs. All we can do is manage ours. So managing them up front and being really calm and keeping it calm. So even if they rise and if they become more emotional about it or whatever, if we keep our calmness, then they don't get the power over the conversation.
That's right. It diffuses that energy in the conversation if we, and it's hard to do. I don't want to think this is easy, but it is. But I think being really thoughtful and intentional before you walk into that meeting really helps. And sometimes I've even had points written down or scripts written down when I've had to have these conversations that I find particularly challenging, so that I can just methodically work through what I need to without being reactive.
I agree. I also say to people, if you feel like you're becoming emotional or your responses are becoming unhelpful and you could feel it happening, it's okay to take a quick break, even if it's just to say, I'm just going to grab a glass of water, to buy yourself time to just step out and breathe a little and get yourself back in that headspace of, okay, it's just a conversation. We just need to work this through and bring yourself back down again. And I think it's fine to do that.
I agree. And I think the glass of water strategy is a great one because it's not like you're saying, I'm overwhelmed, I need to step out.
No.
It's a totally normal thing to be doing. You're not going to spend 5 minutes making a tea. It's just grabbing a glass of water, but it gives you that little circuit breaker.
I think that's it. And I think we're often reluctant to do that because we feel like that might look weak or might look like we're avoiding the issue, but it's not at all. We just frame it in that way. It just gives us a chance to get back into the right space. So I think it's a really powerful tool that we can kind of just keep in our back pocket.
Yeah, I like it. I really liked that conversation, Juliet. I think there's some really good takeaways there for our listeners in terms of strategies, ways to approach things, and also the importance of not sweeping these things under the carpet.
Yes, they have to be dealt with. So, yes, please don't avoid them. They never get better just because we don't deal with them.
Only ever worse, unfortunately.
Yes, exactly. Thanks, Chrissy Lee. Great to talk.
Thanks, Juliet. Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.